Well, we've had a chance to catch our breath after a great weekend of the 2013 NFL Draft Eagles style. Hi, everyone. I'm Dave Spadaro, joined by Eagles General Manager Howie Roseman. And Howie, congratulations for going through the process, for executing your plan. And in this building, for sure, and so many of these national analysts who are giving grades, everybody seems really darn happy with what happened. Is that how you feel?
We're excited about who we got and what we did this weekend, and even more interested in seeing them on the field next weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I know you don't get ahead of yourselves. Now the part comes is how they look in Eagles uniforms and in this scheme. But let's go through some of this. And I guess the first question, what do you think you accomplished with these eight players?
The process was really good. We went through it. We took the best players off our board as they came. I think that's really important as we go forward here to stay disciplined. And it's hard sometimes. Sometimes you're sitting there, you look at your depth chart, which is in our draft room, and you say, well, I wish I can get this position. I wish we can fill this need. But when you're disciplined about it, I think good things happen.
Explain that, if you could, just in layman's terms. People always say, from our board, we stayed true to our board. What exactly does that mean? Do you group players in each round? And then when you say true to your board, you're picking from that grouping of players? Explain in kind of a more layman's term like.
Well, the way we do it is we rank our top 50 players, 1 through 50, and we put them in tiers. So that if there are a bunch of guys in the same tier, maybe we go for the priority position in that tier. And then we have a board horizontally and vertically, and we look across it to make sure the values are the same. And you see guys sticking out on that board when they're the best available player.
Okay, very well done. All right, let's go back to round number one on Thursday night. The Eagles with the fourth pick in the draft. The Miami Dolphins trade up with the Oakland Raiders. And I think everybody watching it on television, Howie, thought that the Dolphins were in position to take Lane Johnson. What was the feeling like in the draft room?
The feeling was we had four players that we were very comfortable and excited about drafting. So we knew we were going to get one of the four. We didn't know how the order was going to fall. Obviously, we go through that and we kind of think about some projections, but we were really excited to get any of those four guys, and it was going to take a lot for us to move down and not get one of them.
And so you get Lane, and everybody raving about his athletic ability. As you're watching as a scout, describe the athletic ability.
Rare. I mean, the term freak is used when it's talked about Lane in a very positive way, because to combine his athleticism, his length, his toughness and determination, and then his upside, because he's new to the position, so he's not a finished product. You hear a lot of times about ceiling and floor, very high ceiling.
I imagine then you also talked to coaches there, talked about his ability to receive coaching, and obviously got some plus marks on that. I mean, you think that this, you can bring that raw talent all together on the field.
No question. And we joke a lot of times when we're going through the draft process, who's the next Jason Peters? Can we move a tight end? Can we find someone? And certainly not putting anyone in Jason Peters' class right now, but he's got some of those tools, some of those rare athletic tools. And then he's a strong guy. He's a smart guy. So we're excited about him.
So you're sitting there Thursday night feeling good about getting Lane Johnson, going through the rest of the first round, and then maybe trying to get up in the first round, just keeping an eye on things, I guess is a better way to put it. Preparing for round two, Howie.
Right.
When you got ready for Friday, what was your thought going into that second round?
Let's stay disciplined to our board. Let's take the best player. It may not be the position that maybe we need the most, but let's make sure we take the best player, a guy that we think could be here 5, 6, maybe 10 years down the road.
Okay, so it's Zach Ertz, the tight end from Stanford, who, again, the word that jumps out is athletic ability and hugely productive.
We're also talking about a really big guy. I mean, he's 6'5". He's got really good hands. He's a mismatch. When you watch the tape on him, it jumps out. Talking to the people there, talking to Coach Kelly who played against him, we had a high grade with him throughout this whole process. And just to get a guy like that, character guy, talented guy, he's going to really help the Philadelphia Eagles.
And it's fascinating the way it's set up offensively now. All these tight ends, something that you know we're not used to.
Right.
So, I mean, I think Eagles fans have a lot to look forward to as far as personnel packages, formations, and the way that the coaching staff uses all these players.
We talk a lot about versatility, but it's also talent. And this guy's an extreme talent, and again, a guy who has a chance to have a long, productive career.
The defense gets addressed in round number three, Benny Logan, who I had seen some things that the Dallas Cowboys were very interested in him. In fact, somebody sent out a tweet, so this was a kick to the gut of the Dallas Cowboys. They were really hoping to get Benny Logan. What did you like about him?
That's what we try to do around here, Philadelphia
there you go,
Eagles.
Baby.
Let's go,
yeah.
Spuds. But I think for us, it was power, athletic ability. This is a guy that when he came out in the draft, we had a very high grade on him. We went down to Baton Rouge, worked him out, talked to all the people down there. Where's number 18, which is a hugely symbolic number for the LSU team. So we really didn't know if we'd get an opportunity to get him in the third. We were kind of trying to keep our fingers crossed. And to be able to get him is going to be a huge plus for us.
So you've got three rounds of the draft done. You've got 2 days of the draft done. Meetings maybe late in the night on Friday, preparing for Saturday's rounds 4 through 7. Clearly something happened. If you could take us behind the scenes on the decision to move up to the top of round number 4, how it happened, why it happened, and then Matt Barkley was the pick.
Well, we were actually trying to move up back into round 3. On Friday night, we were trying to get in there, trying to complete a trade. It didn't work out. Teams had guys they wanted to pick. So it was our priority. When I left the building on Friday, I made a couple calls to the teams at the top and felt good about the chance to move up. We did it again. We spoke to them again on Saturday morning. We were able to execute it pretty early on Saturday.
And nobody in the world knew that the Eagles were interested in Matt Barkley. Talk about some of the research you did on him and the opinions that you formed about him.
I've been to SC the last 4 years, so as long as he's been the starting quarterback, I've been there. I've seen him at practice. I've seen him throw. I've talked to the people there. So this wasn't something that was kind of out of the blue. Coach Kelly, obviously, very familiar with him. All our scouts knew him really well. He was a guy that was sitting up there. I mean, all our 50 players were gone. They were off the board, and we had one guy there. It's a quarterback. You know what he brings to the table. You know what kind of tangibles he has. You know what kind of talent he has. Obviously, you talk about where he would have been in last year's draft. So it was really a no-brainer for us to go get him. We weren't looking. We're very happy with the quarterbacks we had here, but this was the best player on our board.
It looks like, Howie, a tremendous amount of competition at the quarterback position. I guess that's what you want at every position, but it's obviously catches a lot of people's eyes when it's the quarterback position with Michael, with Nick, now Dennis Dixon, of course, with GJ, with Matt Barkley as well. What are you trying to accomplish there? Just kind of talk about how it's going to work out and what the coach wants to do there.
Well, the way we were raised in Philadelphia was get good quarterbacks. You bring them in, have them work hard, and it's a great thing for your football team. So I think that was very important when we went into this process, was not to pass on a guy that we thought had starter potential. And that's no slight at the people in this building, but it's just too important of a position to not have those guys. And the more you can bring in, better chance you have.
You said something on Saturday night to the writers after the draft, and it was a roundtable conversation, and everybody obviously intrigued by the pick of Matt Barkley. And you said that, well, the characteristics that Chip Kelly has expressed to you, what he wants to see in a quarterback, are similar to the ones that you had heard from Andy Reid as well. Can you kind of talk about what are the characteristics that are important?
Well, the perception of Coach Kelly is he just wants the best athlete. He just wants a guy who can run around, and he doesn't care so much about accuracy. You know, arm strength, anticipation, all those things that are important, pocket presence, all those things that are important. So I was just kind of relaying that message, is that we're not looking for quarterbacks that are totally out of the box. We're still looking for really good players, the tools that have led teams to championships with Coach Kelly, just like we were with Coach Reid.
What an infusion, Howie, for this offense from the time of free agency beginning with James Casey coming in and then all these draft picks. Quite a few interesting dynamics that you've introduced potentially on the field for 2013.
We also felt it was important. We know the perception about changing over the defense, and we got a lot of players in free agency in the draft. We thought it was important. One, stick to our draft board. Two, you want to build on a strength. So when you have good players, you want to add to that. You want to make sure you're still an explosive offense, and that's what we try to do here throughout the offseason.
Final four picks in the 2013 draft went to the defensive side of the ball, Howie. What are you looking at in Earl Wolfe, in Joe Kruger, in Jordan Poyer, David King? Why are they such attractive players to you late in the draft?
I'll start off with Earl Wolfe. When we came back on Saturday, if we didn't make the trade, he was one of the guys we were considering at the top of the fourth round. So another guy we were kind of sweating out through the whole round. Explosive player, great character, a guy who's really got a chance to impact immediately on special teams as he develops. After that, we had a long break. That's a hard thing going through that break. It was a lot of time. We stayed disciplined. For us, when we came back, a guy we were looking at in the fifth round was Kruger. And for him to be back in the seventh round, length, athletic ability, had 6 sacks this year, 20 years old, obviously football family, tremendous amount of upside, fits what we're trying to do defensively. Jordan Poyer, another guy we were considering in the fifth round. In the fifth round, we had him ranked way higher on our board. So a guy who can give you some scheme versatility, he can play inside or out. If he had, he could play safety. A guy who's very impressive on special teams. Another player that Coach Kelly, very familiar with, playing at Oregon State.
And then King ends up the draft for the Eagles, a productive player as well. inside-outside kind of defensive lineman. What do you see there with David King?
Yeah, versatile player, another one who hasn't reached the ceiling, incredibly strong, length, size, athlete.
Yeah. This is a process that started last May and before the 2012 season. Very difficult season, a lot of changes. Can you just kind of put into perspective getting all of these different pieces to work so cohesively? I mean, it seems like everybody really thrilled with the teamwork that went into this.
It was really impressive to get everyone from the coaching staff, the personnel staff, administrative staff, all on the same page, all pointed in the right direction. You know, Dave, we have a lot of change over here, not only in those areas, but around the building. And to get everyone pointed in the right direction, first draft, I think it bodes well for our future.
Good. You feeling good about the way things are building? I know it's never done, but it's a building process, right?
We're feeling good about it. Again, we got a lot of work to do. Excited to get these guys on the field.
So what is next for Howie Roseman here?
We got a rookie minicamp coming up. We got to make sure that we get enough bodies going on there. And then we start the process of getting our scouting staff pointed in the right direction for next year. Well, I don't know, Dave.
Never ends.
Any ideas?
Well, free agency is still out there.
Right.
I mean, is this a time of year when agents are really picking up the phone and trying to get you interested in some quality players who are veterans still in the streets?
It is. And again, we'll take a look at our depth chart again today. We'll look at it. We'll see what we think we have. But we think it's a great opportunity for young players to come in here, compete for jobs, open-minded people, and the best players are going to be on our roster.
Hey, congratulations.
Thanks, man.
I mean, I know it's an exhausting process, but it's the best weekend of the year, though, is it not, in the offseason?
Awesome. Yeah. It's awesome. It's a lot of fun.
We all had fun with it. Howie Roseman, thanks for joining us so much in studio here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.